Previously on Those Were the Days.
I love we've got an AB disclaimer.
You can just mom shake your head the whole time.
And now I'm going to stop there so that we don't get a takedown notice.
If you're playing the drinking game at home,
yes.
Take a...
Movies with the woman in the red dress and the man in the green sweater.
Is Daniel Stern okay?
8 people know of this song, and my friend Joe and I are 2 of them.
But it distracted me so hard until I realized where I knew him from.
It actually debuted right after the Super Bowl.
Big brown cabinet television in the living room.
Yep.
On our brown carpet.
Yep.
Next to our brown fireplace.
Those Were the Days is filmed before a live internet audience.
Hello, TV friends, and welcome to another episode of your favorite classic TV podcast, Those Were the Days. I'm your host, Steven, and tonight we have quite the show for you, but first, wouldn't be a complete news team without my favorite co-hosts. Who can turn the world on with her smile? It's Amy.
So we're covering the worst of the best, and if this is one of the worst rated episodes of this show, I kind of want to see the score break down across gender lines. I'm just saying.
Who can take a day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? It's Travis.
Tonight I'll be doing the show using my news anchor voice. A smooth, rich baritone that invokes trustworthiness, honesty, and a polished diction. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy.
Hey, Lou, that was pretty good, right? Yeah, all right.
Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show it, it's Audie.
You know it, boyfriend. Okay, time to read some applications for the new writing position. I just hope we find someone good for writing the news. Let's see, yeah, that's good. Promising. Just graduated, huh? Maybe. Let's get some more. Okay. Been writing the news for a year now. Good, good. Oh, head writing. Very good. And from a small town in the middle of... I have no idea where that is. Oh, they were the only writer. And producer. And anchor. Might not be the right fit here. Let's see this one. Writing for several years. Local. Even works in the building? What else could they write? Chuckles the Clown? They think they can go from writing a clown show to writing the news? My God, that's perfect. Hey, Murray, tell Ted I found the perfect writer for him.
Yeah, we're going to make it after all. That's right. We're talking about the legendary Mary Tyler Moore Show. And not just any Mary Tyler Moore show. We've gone back and picked out one of the lowest rated shows of the series run. And we're going to find out if it was really as bad as the population seems to think it was. That episode is titled The Son of... But seriously, folks. Indicating, I think it's a sequel to a previous episode.
Yeah.
Why the son of part? I'm not really sure. I've got some thoughts of some other sons of. They could have called it. But we'll start here. But first of all, like we usually do, I'd like to get the pulse on where we all are with the Mary Tyler Moore Show, how we feel about it, what we're walking in with in terms of baggage. Amy, where's this show land with you?
I have no baggage. I have zero baggage. This is my first episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and I am in love. I'll just let it all out right now. I mean, I'm like aware, right? Like I'm aware.
Sure.
But... You know, I mean, even Family Guy did the joke about throwing the beret at that. Like, yeah, it's in the zeitgeist.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd never watched it before. But it's the
sure. Light. Right on. All right. Hey, Travis, what about you?
So I'm kind of in the same boat. I know I've seen at least a couple episodes of this. It had to have played on like Nick at Night or something like that at some point. I stumbled across it. But I didn't have like a big connection to the Mary Tyler Moore Show. It sort of existed in that same world with like the Bob Newhart Show and things like that, where I knew of them. I appreciated them when I would see references to them that I understood, but I didn't have like a huge connection to it. But I loved the hell out of this. So it was fun.
Great. Audie, let's go with you.
Yeah. Count me number 3 of having no connection to this show before now. Like never watched it before. I like in,
Amy said, I knew it existed. Like, you can't not know it existed if you are in the States and watching TV at any point. The one connection I have to this show, 2001, Reliant K, The Anatomy of Tongue and Cheek. The first major song on that album, Pressing On, the last line of that song is, we're gonna make it after all.
Outstanding.
And then wow. I was
like, that comes from something, right? And I figured it out. It's like, okay. Still never watched it before now, but I'm glad I watched it now.
That blows my mind, because I did not know there was a Reliant K to Mary Tyler Moore connection.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
you're
welcome. Thank you for that, because as a fan of Reliant K in my high school days, this is definitely, that's cool.
They knew
that's
about more than just Thundercats, people.
There's more to them. We did a pretty sick cover of Sadie Hawkins' Dance back when I was 17.
Nice.
At a show. It was pretty great.
Pressing
On
leads into late Sadie Hawkins' Dance. So, like,
no way.
In my head, I hear Mary Tyler Moore between those two songs.
That's awesome. All right. Well, today I learned. That's great. It absolutely confuses me that you guys...
Wild, right?
So this show is amazing to me. We put together this cast of characters, and we're all like, classic TV, great. But we all have the wildest, like, different sections of classic TV that we cared about.
The amount of British television from the 70s that I am intimately familiar with is overwhelming.
Right? Like, we've got that, the appointment television, and the, like, all this stuff that we all just have different segments of this one topic that we care about, because this show was everything when I was a kid. Like,
Steven, that's because you were a 60-year-old child. That's why.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
We have established
absolutely.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the old man. I'm going to tell you, like, right now, I looked it up. So this show, it went into syndication after it finished its run. It ran from 70 to 77 on CBS. It finished its run. It went into syndication. It didn't do that well. It was like 25% of America had this on TV at any given time, which in terms of syndication, pre-cable, is just, it's not a lot. Like, they weren't just rerunning it all over the place. Nick at Night started broadcasting in 1992 when a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Stephen was 7 years old, getting ready to go to bed at night. And they did the Mary Tyler Moore Marathon. Nick at Night, where they just played Mary Tyler Moore for a full week. And I watched the bejesus out of it. I watched, like, every night. I was watching Mary Tyler Moore until I had to go to sleep. And I just, the theme song lives in my head. The cast of characters, who we got to see a handful, but not everybody. So there's plenty of characters, and we'll talk about them, that we didn't get to see. But yeah, man, this was right in my space of time where I was watching things. Dick Van Dyke Show led into this. I was already familiar with Mary Tyler Moore, but this is a whole different Mary. This is what they called, I think it occurred during second stage feminism. So there's a lot of, it was an independent woman, not a divorcee, which they played with that plot line initially. They were like, we could make her a divorcee. And they're like, nah, it confused people. They'll think it's like Mary divorced Rob and... You know, from Dick Van Dyke Show, and they were like, let's just make her. I think the story they gave was she broke her engagement, or the engagement broke off, and now she's independent, living in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A businesswoman doing her own thing. It was rare in the 70s. We weren't going to see things like that frequently. So this was part of that, and she had her own set of friends that were also single, like Rhoda and Phyllis. We got a little bit of Rhoda in this episode. Who was so well, Valerie Harper, so well loved. She's so cool that she got her own show, which I also watched, which was equally great. Rhoda's just wonderful. But anyway, a couple things about the Mary Tyler Moore Show. It won 29 primetime Emmys during its run. Outstanding Comedy Series 3 years in a row, 75 to 77. That's when it won Outstanding Comedy Series. And that was its fifth, sixth, and seventh seasons.
Wow.
So, like, its last three is when it got three major Emmys for comedy. Like,
that's impressive.
Shows are usually, like...
That's awesome.
Yeah. Right? Because somewhere in the middle, you have this bell curve of your show where you peak season 3 through 6 or whatever, you know, midway through your run, and then people start running out of stories to tell, and you start falling off. They won this in their final three seasons, which was great. The Writers Guild of America in 2013 ranked it number 6 of its 101 best-written television shows of all time.
Wow.
Number 6, if you're curious what the above Mary Tyler Moore was in this order, number 5 was All in the Family. Mm-hmm. Number 4, The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Number 5, All in the Family, The Twilight Zone, Seinfeld. I missed one in there somewhere. I wrote these notes down, and somewhere there's a missing one, because The Sopranos was number 1. Anyway, never mind all that. What we got is that was the ones that landed above it. So The Sopranos kind of struck me as, I've never seen it. It's not classic TV, so we can't cover it.
Yeah.
But I guess it was really well written, which makes sense. It's prestige TV. And it even spun off 3 shows of its own. It spun off Phyllis, it spun off Rhoda, and it spun off a show called Lou Grant, featuring Ed Asner as Lou Grant, who was a treasure. Ed Asner,
The cast of the show, if you look at the IMDb for the Mary Tyler Moore show, Mary Tyler Moore, Ed Asner, Gavin McLeod, Captain Steubing, for crying out loud, Valerie Harper, you got Cloris Leachman, John Amos, Betty White, like, I couldn't get out.
Ted Knight.
Ted Knight might have been my favorite thing in this whole episode. I loved Ted Knight. I mean, obviously from my intro, you kind of got that. But like, it was just so good. So good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, like, I knew about Ted Knight from this and then saw him in Caddyshack and was like, oh, that's the guy from Mary Tyler Moore. And clearly you see where Anchorman was inspired by.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Hugely by this show. I think to the point there's a cat. I think the Anchorman, Ron Burgundy's cat was named Baxter after
the
Ted
dog,
Baxter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, his dog.
And somebody that worked in the news station was named Ed, which was Ed Asner tribute from this show. So, like, it was all very much Mary Tyler Moore news team level, which I thought was pretty great. We've also got a few other characters that I really loved. Georgette was Ted's wife later in the last 3 or 4 seasons. That was played by Georgia Engel, who I adore. Like, if you get to watch this, she's got this tiny mousy voice, and she's super duper ditzy and adorable, and you want to put her in your pocket and take her home because she's just the most wonderful addition. And then, of course, Betty White shows up later as Sue Ann Nivens, who has an attraction to Lou and uses double entendres all the time. And it's
which
just...
is why when they were casting Golden Girls, she was originally up for Blanche. And she didn't want to wind up in that typecast of being the sex pot. And that's how she wound up as Rose.
Which, that's amazing.
I knew that.
Honestly, brilliant. Like, that's brilliant. So because
typecast is the funniest woman ever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Betty White.
Yeah, she would never have gotten stuck. Betty White had something that nobody else had.
Yeah.
And I knew her from this. I didn't know her from Golden Girls. Despite seeing Golden Girls at my grandma's house a lot, I knew her as Sue Ann from the Mary Tyler Moore show. Again, I'm 7 years old. I'm really impressionable, and this show just went straight into my DNA. In 2007, Time put the Mary Tyler Moore show on the list of 17 shows that changed TV. Time stated that the series liberated TV for adults of both sexes by being a sophisticated show about grown-ups among other grown-ups having grown-up conversations, which I thought was kind of fun. And the Associated Press was a little meaner. They said it took 20 years of pointless, insipid situation comedy and spun it on its heels by pioneering reality comedy and the establishment of clearly defined and motivated secondary characters.
Brutal.
Pointless. 20 years of pointless TV. That's a bold claim.
Yeah.
Associated Press. I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like, a lot of secondary characters there for its bit parts and jokes and setups and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this actually gave each character almost a full life.
To the point
they
where they
living.
Had so many spinoffs as a result.
True.
Right, well, yeah.
And it's the kind of thing, I just talked about this recently with the movie The Hudsucker Proxy, where there's a ton of background characters, and you're like, I want just a whole movie on this character and that character and that character, because they flesh them out and they make the scenes better. So doing that in this show makes those scenes so much better now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know from Adam anything about the Mary Tyler Moore show. because while I may have stumbled across a few episodes, just I don't have a lot of memory for it. I want to know the story of the guy leaving at the beginning to go write for Walter Cronkite. Like, I want that.
Oh, Cronky? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, all of that. I want just an entire series based around Ted Knight. Or Ted Baxter, rather. Like, it's all of that. So that, I love it. I loved all of that stuff. It was just amazing.
Yeah. It was super duper fun. The last thing I'm going to say, last couple things about the accolades for the show. Tina Fey actually credited the show for how they wrote 30 Rock.
Sure.
Because they said we wanted the show to be about the people, not the work.
Yeah.
It was just the people in the work is kind of how it was pitched, and that's what they used Mary Tyler Moore Show as a template for how to do that.
Yeah.
Marta Kaufman of Friends said the last episode of Mary Tyler Moore was the gold standard of finales. So they wanted to end Friends the same way Mary Tyler Moore Show ended, with like Friends doing their thing, which I thought was super cool. So like Mary Tyler Moore herself is celebrated all through the entertainment industry for just breaking so many stereotypes and molds of how TV's done because of this. And her production company making more shows that were doing things like this.
Right.
To really open it up, especially opportunities for women to lead television shows for themselves instead of it all being just dude-driven all the time, which was fantastic. So, yeah, just a great TV show all around. So I lead with all of the accolades and all of the great things people said because we watched supposedly the worst episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
I'm sure that some people absolutely think this is a terrible episode, and I know exactly who those people are. Those people would be played by Jerry Van Dyke, which was the best part because I didn't look at the IMDb ahead of time, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, that guy is so familiar. That guy, but I was like, oh, he is in that he's not, but he is. I see what we've done there.
He is, but he's not, but he also is. Like, so he's playing effectively the exact same character he played in Coach. And I don't know if any of you ever watched Coach.
Yes. But that is exactly what I thought of when he came on screen. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh.
My house, we watched a lot of Coach when I was growing up. It was just because it came on. I think it ran right after Roseanne. And so it was like we watched Roseanne, we watched Coach. And so that's what I know Jerry Van Dyke from. And it was a long time before I realized it was Dick Van Dyke's little brother.
See, I just never made the connection. I picked up the Van Dyke vibes.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And I was he's just so familiar. Oh, he's just close.
This is me.
Kmart, you know, Dick Van Dyke. Yeah, I'm Jerry.
it's the me at that age. I didn't pick up on who it was. And then when I got older, I'm like, oh, it makes perfect sense now. He's Dick Van Dyke's little brother. Of course, he's just the slightly rounded off version of Dick Van Dyke.
That's good.
But he's so good. He is very much a Van Dyke. He's very charismatic. He's very likable. Yeah. He's very, like, he is that character. He's perfect for that. Mm-hmm. But I also get why people didn't like this episode. Because as I was watching it, I'm like, you know, through the lens of 2024.
You could run this episode today. 100%.
Yeah. Oh, and all of you us could. Sure. You could.
Yeah. Yeah, which we didn't have to, but here we are.
Right.
Here we are to talk about it. Yeah, I didn't know what we would be getting for sure when I turned this episode on. I'm like, I don't know. Let's just go for it. Let's see what we end up with. And I have a feeling different people dislike this show for different reasons. Like, I think there's things in this you see that you're like, I don't like it because of this. And then other people go, I don't like it because of that. And there's a whole different view of who you, like you were saying, Amy, like there's certain people
like
that don't like it.
There's a lot of people that identify in a way that they go, well, this is just ridiculous. And then, then there's the other people that are like, well, this would never happen. And then there's the large number of people who have lived this scenario and found the episode very funny.
Oh, this is what happens. It makes me even more excited to talk about it. So the basic premise of this episode is an old flame. I'm going to call it a flame. More like a smolder. Ember, maybe. Mm. Some sort of lit object comes into Mary's life. And that is Wes, played by Jerry Van Dyke, who replaces Josh, who you talked about at the beginning of the show, Travis, who is leaving to go work for Walter Cronkite. Now there's a opening for a writer. Wes has left Chuckles the Clown and is applying for a job to write in the newsroom because he's like, oh, I could work with Mary again. And he really kind of likes Mary. If you pick that up pretty quick.
I mean, how could you not, though, quite frankly?
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean,
she's a treasure.
You're not wrong. But he's an awful close talker when it comes to Mary. He kind of just makes his way into her bubble real fast.
By the way,
gets in her space.
Real quick, because you mentioned like the son of, but seriously, folks. So Wes is a character that appeared in two episodes of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And it was this episode and the episode, but seriously, folks, from the previous season. So that was where we get that, like you said, it's kind of a continuation or a sequel to that episode. They brought that character back for this. I'm curious to watch that episode now. I kind of want to see But Seriously, Folks, because I have a feeling Chuckles the Clown is involved in that as well. And once again, I want a show or at least an entire episode just around Chuckles the Clown because he was amazing.
Chuckles was great. Yeah, I want to see it because I want to know how Wes was used in that episode versus
I do
this
too.
One.
Yeah.
Like the unrejected Wes versus the has been rejected Wes. I want to see what that's all about. But yeah, Ted, there was some great comedy in this first opening scene. Ted being all sad that Josh was leaving and then going up and hugging this other kid. It's like, I'm going to miss you, little guy.
I'm going to miss you so much. And that's the best, right? He's like, oh, yeah, it's your, okay, he goes, Pete? He goes, no, that's not it.
That's not it.
Well, because he starts that whole conversation off with like, you guys are like my family.
Yes, you're the only family I have.
You're the only family I have, Josh. I'm not Josh. Right, you're Pete. No, that's not it. I'd remember. It'll come to me. Don't worry.
It's so good. Ted Knight has so much just heat in this episode. Like he is on fire. And Murray is too. Murray has just as many wonderful zingers against Ted. They're kind of like in this show. They are your back and forth one-liner jab kind of comedy.
They're your Statler
usually Murray
and Waldorf
messing with Ted. Yes. Sure. Yes, yeah. yes. And it's usually Murray being smarter than Ted, which is no surprise if you pick up on what Ted's all about. he's definitely
I loved later on when Murray comes out and the cameras are rolling and he gets in front of the camera and just pauses. he just goes deer in the headlights. It starts breaks that ridiculous grin of like, I'm just gonna smile at the camera for a second and hand this to him and just like wave and walk away. I loved that so much because if you've ever done anything in front of a camera, you've met that person. You have met a Murray.
Just freezes.
Yep. That was so good.
Just everything broke right there when he realized, oh, I'm on TV. Shoot. So we get the Wes deal. He's going to start working in the newsroom. And the next scene is Rhoda and Mary having breakfast.
So
yeah.
This was my favorite part of that scene is because, you know, Mary's happy to see him, right? I mean, you know, they must have parted on good enough terms, right? You know, and she's like, oh, great, you know. And so she's like, oh, well, I'm going to go put in a good word for you. He's like, no. Don't, you don't have to put in a good word for me. Beg for me.
I love that.
Oh, boy.
My favorite line was just when he first walked in and he goes right to Mary. I missed you. All of you. Yes, I missed all of you. Sure.
Yeah, right?
And she's like, yeah, we all missed you. Like, we're all happy.
Yeah. Wes was not subtle at all.
Oh, no.
At all.
No.
Nope.
That's what I was saying, where he goes over, he just immediately in her space bubble. Just like, bloop.
And she just got a smile.
We missed you, everyone.
Just.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and there was so much about this to me that was cringy for me because I was like, oh, he's in her space and she doesn't like it at all. You know, that was me like this whole episode. That was my perspective of why I thought it was the worst episode is I'm sitting there thinking about Mary. I'm empathizing with her like, oh, my gosh, how is she ever going to get out of this? And this was at a time like cringe comedy. I don't think was really the thing it is. We weren't at Meet the Parents yet, you know, when you just find a way to laugh through the uncomfortable. This was not. We weren't ready. I wasn't ready. So the next scene, we get to Rhoda and Mary are having breakfast because that's what two people who live in the same little complex do the morning. I mean, sounds good. You're by yourself.
And here's the funny thing about this whole scene is when it hit me. And it was amazing that you used that Marta Kaufman quote because it hit me. This felt like Friends. This felt like it was written. And I'm like, no wonder Marta Kaufman was inspired and had such glowing things to say about Mary Tyler Moore that, like, and why it's obviously in the DNA of Friends. Like, good gosh.
Yeah, because the essence of this show really is all about Mary and Rhoda and Phyllis and the people at work that are all friendly. Like, they actually go to work. Mm-hmm. You know, except Friends. Right. I don't think we saw work that often. But like,
occasionally Chandler, that was it. We never knew what he did.
Sure, right. It wasn't the point. And that was kind of what this was. The news was just there as a vehicle for all these other situations to happen with the people. Mary is consulting Rhoda because she's not sure what to do about Wes because she knows I don't like Wes. Like, Wes likes me. And then there's, like, she feels guilty that Wes wants her. She doesn't like him. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
She's a good person.
She's a good person. She cares. She doesn't want to hurt him.
About other people. Right. Just
Right, but then I immediately feel a little bit better because Wes just shows up unannounced to breakfast and is like, I'm going to drive you to work.
Absolutely not.
Lord.
Absolutely not, that's a hard son. No. Rhoda was ready to throw down. That
was
the cactus she's going to pick up.
The 40-pound cactus.
Right?
Well, yeah. There's... find a 40-pound cactus.
Man, Rhoda's when so you wrap yourself into a lie you can't get out of, and then they...
That was my favorite part of that whole scene is right at the end where she's like, where am I going to find my 40-pound cactus? And then she breaks and, like, laughs about it, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's ridiculous. I know this, but, that was so good.
Oh, yeah. When Wes suggested Rhoda can sit on Mary's lap, I was like, what is happening? Uh-huh. What are we doing? And Mary's going along with it because this is just... stuff that happens, guess. Like, I don't know what to do.
Let's be nice to the poor guy. Let's let him off. Oh, wait, let's not let him off at all.
I'll just go ride with him to work. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. This is one time.
One day.
You know, it's one day. I can handle one day of Wes being weird. We get back in the newsroom, and Wes is just that coworker that needs to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like, in this modern age, we'd be like, you're at sexual harassment thing waiting to happen.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
For sure.
Yeah. This is going to be a problem.
It's happening right there in front of all of us. We see it, and we're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I get it being a little weirder for some of the... or a little... maybe less obvious that that's what's going on from some of the other people, even outside of what when this was, right? And that, like, they did apparently have some sort of relationship at some point, even if it was just a date. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, all right.
They rode into work together.
Yeah,
you know.
Sure. Okay.
Mary hasn't told him off in front of everybody, you know? She's not going to, but yeah, she definitely should. Wes is trying to get Mary to go to lunch with him, you know, naming all these different places because whatever's work that will get her to lunch.
That was every relationship meal discussion that's ever been had. It was so good. Okay, whatever you want's great. Okay, well, what if I narrow it down to three? And she's just trying to work. She's trying to proofread of all things, right? That is like a... You gotta concentrate.
When he walked up to pass the thing from Murray sitting literally next to her.
Oh my God.
That broke me. I was like, come on.
And then just stood there waiting. It's like, did you need me to prove something for you? And he's like, oh no, I was just stretching my legs.
Stretching my legs.
Uh-huh.
It was the worst.
Oh, it was rough. It was rough.
I wrote insufferable several times.
That's what we're doing with this episode. Okay.
Yes. But that's what made it so good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So Wes, being a new writer, he needs to get instructions from Ted on what Ted expects. And I love this joke about Ted. Don't hand me any copy that has weird countries or names that are impossible to pronounce. Okay? Murray handed me something about Ethiopia and a guy from Ethiopia. And I couldn't even pronounce the name he did say. But he was like, nobody cares about Ethiopia.
and that comes back, and it's so good.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. No,
the best setup.
That was very nearly going to be my my intro. Was my Ted Knight, Dateline Djibouti, and then come up with some...
Oh, it's so great.
The look over, we're not there yet, but when he does say Djibouti, and then he does the look over.
Jakarta. Jakarta is the
Jakarta.
One in the episode.
That's what it was, Jakarta.
Yeah.
And he just does the look over, and Mary gives him a nod.
You can do this. One of my favorite parts of this whole thing is when Chuckles comes into the room, and he's dressed out in his entire clown gear, which props to Audie for drawing Travis as Chuckles the Clown in our art this week.
Yep. It was so good.
I was trying to think of, like, somebody's got to be... Oh, I know who's going to be Chuckles.
That's fair. Then we get Ed Asner's just best bit this whole dang show is he just walks out of his office and yells, "No clowns in the newsroom," and it was just made me so happy. Because Lou's presented from early on as like this gruff news editor, and they kind of softened him up as the series went on. Where he's still serious, he still means business, but he's a good boss. And that's kind of how that worked. I'm sorry. I think I cut you off, honey.
No. I was just going to say, like, the thing with Lou is the economy of humor. Like, he's not in the episode a ton. And, in fact, at one point I was like, is Ed Asner even in this episode? And then he showed up.
Yeah.
But he crushes it the second he's on screen, or in one instance, when he's not on screen. It's even funnier.
He's wonderful. He never stops being wonderful in this whole series, and it's one of the reasons, like, I always, every time I saw Ed Asner was still alive doing something, I always got excited, because I'm like, it's Lou Grant, he's still doing things. It was just awesome. So Chuckles comes to Wes. This is kind of where we learn a little bit about Wes and why he's good at clown comedy. Is Chuckles' new writers are not getting him out of this situation where he's been swallowed by a giant gherkin on the show, because why not? And Wes has to help him figure out, has to help Chuckles figure out how to get out of the situation, and comes up with this joke about eating his way out. He doesn't really give Chuckles that. He just kind of alludes to it and finally has to spell it out for him. Which I thought was interesting. Like, you're just going to have a sandwich in there, and you need to eat your way out.
I know it would go well with this.
Yeah. And Chuckles was like, what? So who's... Chuckles is just a face. It's kind of like Ted reads the news. Chuckles just reads the comedy.
Yeah.
It's clearly he doesn't have the chops to do it himself.
There's a part where I forget who it is, calls him a clown. And he goes... Who are you calling a clown? He just goes, "Well, if the shoe fits."
Oh, it was Ted.
Yeah, oh, Ted.
Ted says that to him. I love that. That was so good.
Yeah.
If the shoe fits, as he's looking down at his giant clown shoes.
And then was it Murray explaining to Ted what's going on with it? And he's like, yeah, so apparently Chuckles is in a pickle. And Ted's just like, oh, yeah, I've been there, done that.
Ted just brushes it off. Oh, yeah. Because I don't know why Ted and Chuckles seem to have it out at the doorway. I can't remember if there was some sort of heat between them, but they have an argument at the door, picking on each other a little bit. And Chuckles tells him that, the Chuckles the Clown show had a 17 in ratings and 6 Club News had a 6. And Ted throws out one of the best things I've heard in this episode, which was about Murray, because he throws out, like, you know what I've done for all these people? Murray was a wino on Skid Row begging for quarters. Murray's like, what is he talking about?
The best part of that is then Murray paying it off by getting up and saying, well, I'm going to lunch. Hey, Wes, you got a quarter so I can get whatever. Name some random liquor. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, it was really great. Had a bunch of fun with that. Wes, so Mary's gone. I think she wandered off for some reason. Her phone rings. This is another massive encroachment by Wes. Picks up Mary's phone.
Absolutely not.
Oh, yeah. It just cancels her lunch date with, I think it was Jim. Just says, oh, I happen to know she's going on to lunch with me. Sorry about your luck. And then, like, I think I got most livid because he's just all nonchalant about it.
Yeah.
That guy called. He was going to go to lunch, but I told him you were going with me. You know, and she's like, oh, but Mary, being Mary, just rolls with it. Like,
so there was a part before this with Murray at one point. I forget exactly when it was, but it was with the gum.
That was after this.
Well, was it after this? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. This was, we're coming up to all that, right, though.
Right.
Yeah.
That
Don't
was,
worry.
All right.
We're getting there because I think that's the next day. He wants her to go to dinner or something, and Mary, and that's when Murray tells her she's a pushover.
Yeah.
And this, I just fell in love with Mary Tyler Moore all over again. This is her moment to shine in this episode because she has to pretend to be angry with Murray for asking for gum.
You're
and she's
not
so
getting
livid.
Any.
She's like, a sugar-free cherry, your favorite. You're not getting any.
I'm not giving you any. And then she just, like, she hands it over.
Just a beat and hands it to him.
The best part of that whole thing.
So
I
good.
Just love her.
I felt
I love
that
her.
So deep in my soul. I was like, oh, no.
It's so great because, like, on the Dick Van Dyke Show, she was so sweet and timid. As Laura Petrie in that show, because she was meant to be like supporting, but she played just as, I mean, we watched it. We watched the Walnut episode.
Yep.
She could dance with everybody. Yeah. She was great. Yeah. And then she goes into this, and like, if they would have made her any, like, a tough, like, news lady from the city, it wouldn't have worked so well as it works with her continuing to just be a sweetheart, because it's all over her countenance. You know, like, I know in the business, kind of like Lucille Ball was, like, in the business, she knows what she's doing, and she's tough when she gets things done. But, like, her character and her persona on TV was always this kind, sweet, meek person. Because that's what she's built like. You believe it when you see her do these kinds of things. So her faking that angry just made me so happy.
Funny.
I was like, she's just crushing it. So there's another great scene. Wes is pitching an idea, which is going to lead us to the conclusion of the episode. And he does what people with anxiety do. He walks in, he's like, I need to bounce this off somebody, but I don't want you to tell me if you like it, because if you don't like it, I can't walk in.
It's going to crush my confidence.
It's going to crush me. I can't tell Lou about it, but I need to tell somebody before I tell Lou, so I've practiced. And Mary keeps the most stoic face you've ever seen.
It's like, no expression.
And I would've...
He's like, don't make any expression.
That's one of those where, like, I want to see the outtakes. Like, how many times did it take to get this?
Because you know Jerry Van Dyke got her to break.
Oh, yeah.
At least
easy. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And he's pitching her this deal where he's like, we're going to use the newsroom as, like, a natural set where we're going to do the news from in here. It's great. And she's just sitting there stone-faced. And it was hurting me because as someone who has had to do presentations and pitches and stuff to a room full of, well... a video conference full of faces where you can't hear anything. Mm-hmm. And there's no, like, three people have a camera on and they're doing something else.
Yeah.
You're like, everyone hates me. And they hate this. And they want me to stop talking and go away. But you got to push through because there's 49 other people with their cameras off. And you're like, all right, one of those people is probably nodding. You know, that's like the new everyone's in their underwear for public speaking. It's like, imagine they're smiling because that's really all you've got. It sucks. This world is so weird.
Yeah.
But she's doing that. And I'm hurting because I can't imagine having to pitch to somebody who's not doing anything.
Yeah.
And then he's convinced he thinks it's terrible because if it had been actually good, she wouldn't have been able to hold her face that straight that long. She's like, I don't know. I just want what you want from me. You know,
she cannot win at all. Yeah. At no, no point she can't she win. Mm-mm.
No, Wes is crushing her. So he goes in to talk with Luke. He said, Barry hated it. You probably won't even care. You know, he's downplaying everything. He pitches the idea about doing a live tape news show kind of deal. Mary went out to dinner with him. Because
they celebrated. Because Lou liked
him. Yeah, I mean, that's great and all, but Wes is way... Like, you need a night off, right? Like,
this is
too much Wes.
Yeah.
This is when they meet. They come back home from dinner, and they're standing in Mary's doorway, which I don't remember seeing Mary's hallway a lot. But if you ever see the outside of the apartment she lives in, it's really like a house where she's living in some separate units, like her and Rhoda. I don't know what the layout of this house is like, but it's wild.
Yeah,
it's like the Winchester house in there. It's absolutely crazy. But barring that, they're having a conversation about what's going on, Wes and Mary, and Wes really likes Mary, and Rhoda...
The best. This is so good.
Oh
my God. I cackle.
Just announcing herself from downstairs, coming in and immediately hearing their conversation, and it's just like, okay, I'm coming up the stairs. Because I need to go to my apartment, just in case anybody needs to know.
I'm pretty sure I could hear Amy laughing during that when I was watching this.
It's so good.
And then she forgot her groceries. Okay, I'm going back down the stairs.
I forgot my groceries in the car.
It was so good because it's your friend that really doesn't want to get in your business at the moment. Like, they know you're doing a thing. They're like, I don't want to hear anything that's going on right now. So I'm just going to let you know.
Also, if you were to give me the sign.
Right?
Right.
Yes. Yeah, true. I will save you. Go ahead. Tell me what you need. This is why I love Mary and Rhoda so much. They're just the best.
Yeah.
So Rhoda gets out of there. And then Wes, for some reason, like a big dum-dum, decides... Now's a great time to ask Mary to marry him. Now, kids, I recommend, prior to popping the question, you discuss popping the question well before this ever happens. Yeah. That way, you pretty much guaranteed a yes, unless there's been a wild change of heart.
Before you cement your relationship into law, let's make sure you have a relationship.
Yeah.
At all.
Let's go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what it was like in 1974, but just, you know, if you're taking tips from Wes.
I mean, to be fair, 1974 was the first year women could have credit card without a male cosigner. So, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Thanks for that nugget.
Yeah.
Boy, we've come a long way, haven't we?
We seem to be looping back around.
We've come away.
We've put the blinker on to turn right back around.
Let's call it a roller coaster, shall we?
Yeah, there we go. Better analogy.
We've got some downs.
Yeah, and they tend to go back to where they started eventually. We'll see how well we can, you know. We'll just keep fighting, you know.
Someone's got dynamite at the end of that one railroad crossing.
Snidely Whiplash is setting it up right now.
Yeah.
So Wes becomes just the saddest panda you've ever seen. He's just Eeyore at the times 10 after Mary says that's not going to happen. You know, it's not a good idea.
But
so Wes,
at least she calls him out on it.
Sure.
She's like, no, you only asked so that you could be miserable when I said no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did like
He's one
that.
Of those guys.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see, mean Mary, she's not really mean. She's tells him like it is. He needs the story. He needs to know. We see it.
Yeah.
You know, we see you, Wes. We know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because he was having a great time. I think he's allergic to good times. He's just not sure how to handle it. There are people like this everywhere. Don't know how to be happy. So I gotta get rid of it as quick as I can. It's weird. Bothers them. So then we get to the next day when they're going to do this live shoot, which I it's a terrible idea in my opinion. I don't know, I'm just a lowly podcaster, but you got a bunch of people milling about who don't go on TV routinely with phones that ring. nobody thought to disconnect those before you went on a live broadcast. Well, it's just mass chaos.
It's also funny, like, they were talking about this whole concept, and it's funny on this side of it when I'm used to so many cable news channels just having the workroom in the background.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
New concept. Interesting to be a new concept.
When my parents worked at the TV station, my dad was on the news one night, like, fixing something under the desk, and it was next to the sports guy who's, like, talking, like, he's, like, picking up tools and being like, I don't know what anything. It's just, like, this much of my dad's.
Local news is the best.
It's real good.
Mm-hmm. I remember
it is the second best to local sports broadcasting.
Okay.
Local sports, yes. Like your local sports color guy, the top tier.
I will say, though, they had a local show here, and they had a pet segment. And one of the episodes, they had cats, right? Because it was cats that were adoptable from the Humane Society.
Sure.
And in the middle of it, the cat just gets up and squats and just pushes one out right there on the guy on air, just poops right on the dude. What do you do at that point? Yeah.
I know.
It was the most random.
If you're like a shelter cat and you're scared, this is weird.
Yeah.
They don't like when you screw up their routines at all.
No, cats are fussy.
Yeah.
Well, that's thanks for that, Travis. That's a beautiful visual.
There you go.
Cat turds on Those Were the Days.
Just think about cat that.
Yeah,
it's good. You're welcome.
So Wes comes into the newsroom, obviously been drinking. We don't say that.
No.
I don't know what the rules were for drinking on. I mean, Lucy was the, you know, tipsy with the Vitamita Vegemin. So it's drunkenism.
Well, Lou says like he's loaded or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's what he says.
They just say it once, but he's definitely very
I love Wes's interaction with Ted, though, because he's just pouring his stuff casually, and Ted walks over, Wes, this is going to be great. He says, well, it's never going to work. Ted goes, what? Lou, Wes just said it's never going to work. It's like, oh, no, it's fine. No. It's going to work. It's going to be great. Just, then Lou goes over to Wes. He says, why is this not going to work? I don't know. It's just not going to work.
Nothing in my life ever does.
Nothing in my life ever works.
And he's like, oh,
I know this person. I just,
I've met them, gotten texts from them.
Listen, at one point in my life, I was this person, okay?
Well, I'm glad you're recovered, Travis.
Thankfully, I'm no longer that person. So.
You know, everybody has an Eeyore stage. I had this problem in my teens, you know? It's fine. It's fine. We get better. We can make progress.
He's got to deal with the poo.
Oh, yeah. So Wes goes back and takes a seat. He really wants to talk to Mary during this live broadcast
bad.
And it's just awkward as it can be.
It can't be that long. Come on. Come on, man. You can wait.
Just relax.
However, you've got to factor.
Logic is not what he's doing.
Right. You have to factor in drunk brain. Right.
That's true. That's true. We got to fix this right now.
Yes.
Right now. We got to fix it.
Yeah. Ted's over there doing the news. We're over here, even though over here is literally 2 feet away.
Behind him on camera.
Yeah. And before they go live, you could hear the audio guy say, we're picking up all that, Wes. Then Wes goes, so like the audience can hear him.
Yeah.
There's one moment that I was like, oh gosh, sexist news coming at you. Because Ted walks over to Mary and says, oh, Mary Richards, she does writing for the show. We call her the Miss Legs of the newsroom or whatever. I'm like, oh Ted. You can't see him because she's sitting down.
She's just like.
Not to mention, they're about to kick your head off.
Here we are.
Welcome to 1974. Mm-hmm. So that's what it was. Then we get the great Lou from the other room.
Before it starts, we get the payoff of the
Ethiopia.
The top news story, like when they hand him before they start and they hand him the pile, and the top of the pile is a story about an earthquake in Ethiopia, and he's like, what is this? I can't do that. What is that guy's name in it? well, yeah. And he just crumples it up. He's like, we have a minute of video on this.
Yeah.
It's like nobody cares about Ethiopia anyway.
Nobody cares about Ethiopia. Brutal.
Oh. No, it's fine. It's
absolutely brutal.
Ted's taking you on a tour of the newsroom. We get over to Lou Grant. And they're like, Lou, come out and say something. Lou just goes, no.
I lost it there. It was so good. I don't want to.
So good.
Till Ted tells him he's not going away. And Lou finally comes out and does this like weird, awkward nod wave. Like, you know. Mm-hmm.
And then just disappears back to his office. Oh, it was
yeah,
fantastic.
Like he should. Yeah. He does not want to be on TV. Wes ends up calling Mary on the phone, which was just
absolutely terrible. Which they're like,
terrible.
Oh, let's take this call live.
Yeah, and Mary's like, no. Mm-hmm. And it's just Wes. Murray comes over with a Bolton for Mr. Yeah. Baxter. Bolton, Mr. Baxter. And Murray does the greatest like turn and walk away deal I've ever seen. Ted gets that Bolton, and then Wes has been back there writing a letter to Mary.
Wait,
to her on the phone. Okay, yeah.
This is the one that killed me. When Ted gets that, and he's like, you get the news when we get the news, and then he sets it down and doesn't address it at all. And Mary's like, what are you doing?
Mary's got to give him the look of like, pick that up, talk to him. It was so good.
And then that was the Jakarta story, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jakarta? Yeah.
He looks at Mary with a side eye. And then we get our Ron Burgundy moment
so
here.
Ron
when
Burgundy. We'll read anything on a teleprompter.
It's all I could think about. Yep. Yeah. Wes tries to hand Mary his letter he's been writing in the background because he can't call and he can't talk to her. And Ted thinks it's another Bolton. Mm-hmm. So Ted just reads the paper. Look, I'm sorry. I know I've made some mistakes. I want you to know I still care about you and I hope we can still be friends. It just goes on. Yeah. Like it was an actual news story.
More on that as it develops.
And then it's like they cut and Ted goes, he turns into like a little kid who's just super excited. Even the news voice has been on for the past 2 or 3 minutes. And all of a sudden he goes, hey, I think we're doing pretty good.
I adored that about Ted. Like Ted's Ted has his news anchor voice. And as soon as that's not going on.
News anchor voice
I think that's
on.
Doing pretty good, right?
Right? I was going to say, he's got his voice on, he's got his brain off entirely.
Yep, oh, completely. Yeah. No. Engine's running and nobody's behind the wheel.
No.
Isn't that how news anchors work, though? Yeah. Like, I heard Justin Robert Young say at one point that news people are just people whose light bounces off their head in a pleasing manner, and they can say words.
I mean, largely, and it's also about reading, like, reading is it's a whole thing. Like, being able to cold read is a skit, like... Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty good at it. It's how I get through doing most of my recording, if I'm honest. I do a lot of cold reading in a very specific voice and cadence. And so it's the same thing.
If you want more of that, tune into Ake Willow, your
Season
favorite little cozy horror podcast.
Starting May 9th.
Get on it. Yeah. I think my mom listened to your show. She was very excited. She liked it a lot. So go do that. And it was like the show, they finished the whole deal and they finally put everything down. And Ted thinks it went really great.
Yeah.
And Lou's like, no, it did not. Just like, oh, no, it definitely
did.
It didn't go well. And this is where I love Lou. And everybody should want a boss like Lou. Because he goes up to Wes and Wes is like, oh, it's terrible. He's like, you know what? We tried something. It didn't work. I like the idea too, but I like how you said, I like the idea too, but I wouldn't have liked it if you didn't bring it to me. So it's like he's supportive though. He's like, we tried it. It failed. We move on. We do something new. That's good boss stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he could have let Wes have it because it went real bad because of Wes because he was drunk in the background making a mess of things.
Right. Otherwise, it probably would have been okay.
Mm-hmm. It would have been great.
No, it would have been great.
Also,
but it would have been better.
When Wes is like, I'll probably just go back to writing for chuckles. And Lou is like,
yeah.
Yeah, all right. Sure. Mm-hmm. And just pats him on the back and walks away. Like, that's probably the best thing.
That's probably for the best.
But that's also good boss stuff because Wes isn't going to. He's not going to make it in the newsroom. Lou knows that.
Yeah.
Send him back where he can use his actual skills to do an actual good job that he can manage. Mm-hmm. You know, that takes good boss stuff to recognize too. When you got somebody, you're like, look, you're not going to fly here. We need to get you somewhere where you can.
Yeah.
So I like that a lot. And then we get through it. Mary, for some godforsaken reason, goes to dinner with him. As Wes is like, hey, we should go get a dinner. We should go get dinner. More sympathy for Wes.
All right, ready though? All right.
Yeah, please give me the other pitch.
So she's a single woman.
Yeah.
Paying for her own way and a job in local news. You know what? Mm-hmm. You can't always look a gift horse in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to be like, yeah, you know what? The pasta prima fare is pretty good tonight. I guess we're just going to go with it.
Yeah.
But I also love the dialogue of that. Like, you know, she's like, let's have dinner. And he's just like, because you feel sorry for me. And she's like, well yes.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, just good enough for me.
But I like, first she talked about, let's go out and get a dinner.
Mm-hmm. We missed part in the hallway, because after he leaves all sad, Rhoda's like, hey, do you mind if I go get him on the rebound?
My god, I loved Rhoda in this whole episode. She was so good the whole time.
Rhoda is a treasure, unbelievable stuff.
So we've been through a lot of Mary Tyler Moore. It's been a little bit of a longer show than normal. But I guess what I'm interested in now, first from you guys, is this a bad, objectively bad episode of television?
No.
I mean,
absolutely
no.
Absolutely not.
If this is the worst of the Mary Tyler Moore show, holy hell, I need to watch some more Mary Tyler Moore show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I understood, because I have seen every episode of this show multiple times.
Yeah.
I know what it is. This probably is the less less good episode, but I find that I was mostly annoyed with Wes so much the whole time that it made it cringy for me. So it was hard for me to enjoy it. Talking to you guys about it, like every show I talk to you guys about, it's infinitely better just because we had this big conversation about it. I'm like, oh yeah, that was pretty good. Oh yeah, that part was funny. So we bring it to life in a different way in the recap, which if you listened out there in listener land, if you watched the show and you thought, it's kind of cringy or I didn't really like it, I hope this brought some new perspective to it. And it wasn't rated like a 4 in IMDb.
No,
I think it was a 6 point something.
Yeah.
It's hard on these, when you're doing the worst of the best, they're the best for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So their worst is going to be hard to find a worst that drops below 5, I think.
Yeah.
That's a trick that's going to be hard to catch. But maybe we can, and maybe we will. In just a second, I'll get to that part. But first of all, Mary Tyler Moore Show, I'm assuming everybody would watch more. Seems like you guys had a
good time. I know we talk about it. Like, I know, like, we say a lot, like, oh, yeah, no, I'll watch more. No, I'm going to sit down. It's on Hulu. I'm going to hit season 1, episode 1. I'm going to hit play. And this is my life for the next foreseeable amount of time. This was the best thing I've ever seen. It was so
great. You're going to have your own marathon.
It's just so good for, I don't know if it's just hitting, like, for where I am in a headspace at the moment. But I was like, this is exactly what I need.
Oh, that's great. What about you, Travis?
Oh, it's real good. No, this is going into a rotation of, like, I got a project to work on. I need something to watch while I'm doing that. Mary Tyler Moore is hitting that. For sure.
Yep.
Nice. That's wonderful. Adi, how about you?
Yeah, I'll try to squeeze them in. I definitely want to go back and watch But Seriously, Folks, and see how this started. And
watch some more.
Because it's like, and I think it's funny, we talked about Wonder Years last week being bad only because so much of the cast wasn't there.
And I think nothing really happened. Like, it didn't really happen.
And that's probably where some of the dislike of this episode is like all those people you named at the beginning talking about the cast of this show who weren't in this episode and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I would like to watch some more for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, I had a blast. It made me want to go back and rewatch Mary Tyler Moore again, because I'd forgotten how good it was. Because I'd been so focused on like older stuff because I am a 60-year-old man. But, like, I need to get back into some 1970s. And at some points, Mary's interior of her house is very green and brown and orange. And you get some understanding of those colors. They're really popping. Back. Let's just use the colors on the same side of the color wheel. See what happens.
Yeah.
You know? I've had enough of opposites. Let's try everything in the Brown family. Let's go. But so that's it for Mary Tyler Moore. That was wonderful. I'm so glad that you guys enjoyed the worst episode of this show. And to continue our worst of the best, Amy will be bringing us a show next 2 weeks from
because
we're taking a break on next Monday. Amy, what are we going to watch?
Okay, so we've had two new shows, and we've had two, like, one okay episode and one objectively great episode. All right, so I'm going to bring us a show that we have already watched an episode from. And I have a feeling that this episode is so bad that it actually, in fact, kind of swings back around to being phenomenal. I will tell you that the director of this particular episode had T-shirts made saying, "I survived, name of episode," because everyone involved absolutely hated it. So I'm very excited to bring this to the table. With the whopping rating of 5.9 on IMDb for this episode, we're going back to the X-Files, kids. Season 3, which is apparently a pitfall season for a lot of shows. Season 3, episode 18. I don't know how to pronounce this. Teso dos Bichos? I don't know.
All right.
But it's... oh boy, guys, I'm so excited. It's real good. And it's a Boston episode.
Oh man.
Double whammy.
I picked it before I knew that, and then I was like, well.
The New England count will be on the board, everybody.
Get it up there. So good.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, the X-Files. All right, we're heading back.
Oh,
it's going to be good.
Yeah, brace yourselves.
Of all the shows to go back to.
Brace yourselves.
All the shows with potential bad.
Of a show to go wrong.
Yeah. this could go really wrong in really great ways. I'm very excited about it. All right, sweet. You heard it here. Season 3, episode 18 of The X-Files. So get on that. Where can we watch that? Is that streamed on
Hulu? That is on Hulu.
On Hulu. We're sticking with Hulu. This theme. I didn't get any email feedback. Did anybody get anything in the socials?
I didn't see anything in the socials.
Not this time.
Clearly, everyone else is not a 60-year-old man who enjoyed Mary Tyler Moore growing up. That's fine. Hey, but if you do have something that you want to send to us, I know we have a handful more listeners that are pulling in the podcast and joined us in Discord. If you want to tell us what you thought of this show or upcoming X-Files episode or X-Files in general, you can hit us up at thosewerethedaysshow@gmail.com or tweet at us over there on the Twitter at thosedaysshow. You can also join us in our Discord where we talk about a bunch of stuff. There's a whole lot of channels in the Two Dorks Discord over there at twodorks.net/Discord. Also, I want to thank huge shout out to Bo who joined us on Patreon last week. That was awesome. We don't normally promote the Patreon, and he found it anyway, which is fantastic. That always helps us out in little ways. You can help us out there. If you go to twodorks.net/support, you can get to our Patreon page easily, and that will get you what you need. But thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. Looking forward to talking to you again. So until next time, you're going to make it after all. We'll see you guys later. Bye.